So last time we were together, we talked about we worship Yod-Heh-Vav, or Yahweh. And we talked about in that first part of that sermon, the last time that we were together, we talked about really worship is coming in and meeting God face to face. We come into his presence. And the reason that we worship Yahweh, that we worship God, is that he is sovereign. And he talked, and David talked about he is the King of Kings. He is the King over all gods. And then he talked about that God is the Creator. And the reason that he mentioned that is because that God had defeated the gods of Egypt and all of what they could possibly throw against Moses and Aaron and their God. They failed, and God was able to lead them out. Now, that's the good part of this psalm. Now, today we're going to look at the manner of worship, and we're going to look about the warning of worship. And both of these are clearly stated here. So here we have where we worship Yahweh, for he is sovereign, and now we're going to transition into the second part. And I think it's something that we really need to pay attention to because of our worship here today. And so let's look at it. By the way, this is the Hebrew text that we're dealing with this morning. And when you look at Hebrew, you read it right to left. So it's like this. It's not right to left the way we read. And you're thinking, well, wait a minute. That's not many words when you look at how many words are here. Well, the reason is one Hebrew word may mean an entire sentence. It can mean three or four different words contained within the one word in Hebrew. So I wanted to kind of look at, you know, you read this and he goes, wow, that's a lot of verses. It doesn't look as many verses here. Well, that's because of the Hebrew, and we'll go through that this morning. Now, David says that we bow in worship, and he talks about our posture. Oh, come. It means to enter or to go in. So here's the situation. They are walking towards the temple, and now they are getting ready to enter the doors. This is something that happens every Sunday in every church in America and around the world. People get out of their cars, and they start walking in. Usually they're met by a friendly face, and let me just say this is the easy part of worship. Oh, come. It means to enter in. And so as the worshipers would come in, they are entering in, and now worship becomes a little more difficult, as David will expand. He says here, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us worship. Stedveha. And it means to bow to a position of submission. Here we understand that worship is a little more difficult now. This is more than just entering in, walking in, sitting down. Actually, and I would maintain that this is probably not only physical, but spiritual, the spiritual bowing, because the issue will be brought up, and it's a heart issue. So, if we're to put this in a practical sense, whether you're listening to the songs, or, and more specifically, you're listening to the sermon, because in the culture, every priest had a sermon or some type of exposition of scripture as they worshiped. This becomes more important for us to listen. That's why when I preach, I have on the back of the bulletin, I have an outline. I want you to be engaged with the sermon. I want you to be able to write the message and maybe write notes. And I've seen some of you write really extensive notes, and that's music to my ears. I love that. But here is where you hear the voice of God. The sermon is where God speaks to his people. And therefore, the issue here is to be submissive. And David's going to build upon this. But the first step is being submissive. When God speaks, and we know that it is the voice of God, that we listen and that we are submissive. You're not being submissive to me, I've studied the text, and I want you to understand this clearly. You're not being submissive to me, because as I study the text, God gives me a message, and I just simply put it out there. Ultimately, whenever you hear a sermon, no matter who's preaching, it is, as I understand it, if the pastor has studied the text, if he has spent time in the text, and he has a heart for God, then God uses that to reach the people. And therefore, this should be our response inwardly when we come to worship. Sometimes we may not like what we hear, but if it comes from God, it should be taken seriously. And then he says, "Kara," which is bow down. Let us worship and bow down. Obviously, this means on your knees. I think what Kenneth Baker said was excellent. Worship is a concrete act of respect, expressive of one's devotion to the Lord. And that really is at the heartbeat of worship. It is an act of respect to God. It is an act of respect, and it is expressive of our devotion to Him. So when we come into His presence to worship and bow down, we are submissive out of respect to God. You don't have to respect me, although I am the messenger of God who was appointed by Him years ago. But ultimately, when I preach, you have to respect the Lord. And that's how it works. He goes on to say, let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Asha, Asha, Maker. David here is acknowledging the awesomeness of God. So when David's talking here about our posture, he's talking about a posture that is very submissive and acknowledging that God is the Maker. He also made this world, and that's why he was able to defeat the Egyptian gods. But he is also the Maker. So God created man in His own image, and in His image, in the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. You are created by God. You are created in the image of God. That's why people have an innate desire to worship Him, even though they look for God in other ways. I said this before. When explorers go into these different remote parts of the world, they always find totem poles or something to worship a god or a series of gods. Why is that? It's because God's thumbprint is on every human being. And David acknowledges, you are our Maker. Now, as we come and bow before worship, this should change our understanding of what it means to worship, because I think David's central driving point here is the idea of ultimate respect for God and at the same time submission. And in our culture, the word submit or submission is not a good thing, but for us as believers, it should be paramount. Listen to me. It should be paramount in our worship. It should be what drives us to worship, to hear the voice of God and to know. We're here this morning in our sanctuary. I can tell you as His messenger, God is with us. Wherever two or more are gathered in His name, He will be there as well. And so this morning, God is listening to me and He's looking at your hearts. And then David moves from our posture to our relationship. Notice, I love this, for He is our God, Elohim. Many of you have heard that word before. It's probably common. For He is our Elohim, Mighty One, who is able to lead and to protect. That's what it means in the Hebrew. He is able to lead His people, which He'll get into with the sheep and the shepherd metaphor in just a minute, in the very next phrase. He is able to lead and protect. Praise be to God, right? He's able to lead us and He's able to protect us. I don't know, Kim Jong-un has been in the news a lot lately. Our president once called him Rocket Man. But now you see this photo here. The people can't wait to get a hold of him. And he's such a good guy. He's smiling. And it's a propaganda picture. This is the leader of the North Korean people. What kind of leader is he? This is the kind of leader he is. His people are starving. 48% of the nation of North Korea lives in poverty. 85% of the people in North Korea do not eat food which is nutritious for them. The average Korean worker makes $2 to $3 a month. 90% of the Korean people are in that category. 10%, the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is taking and giving to the elite, and also 33% of their budget goes towards the military. But our God, our God is not like that. Our God leads us and he protects us. This is not protection. This is an atrocity. Human leaders will answer to our God for how they have treated those who are in their care. We are blessed. I am telling you, brothers and sisters, we are blessed because we have an awesome God. I love bragging on him because he's so awesome. Notice what David says in the next sentence. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hands. Unlike human leaders, God is an awesome leader. And this is an image that carries throughout the Bible. In the New Testament and the Old Testament, God's people are always referred to as sheep. And whenever you look out in the nation of Israel, you look out and you see sheep in a field like this, do you know what's always there watching very carefully? A shepherd. This is a picture now, notice this. This is also a picture of provision. This is also a picture of tranquility. This is what it means when we are the people of his pasture and he is our shepherd. This is a beautiful image. And he also protects his people. It says the sheep are in his hand. I love this. Shepherd guarding the sheep. You are guarded by God. We are in his hands. Nobody can pluck us out. He has protected us. He will protect his people. We need to get that in our hearts, and it will help improve how we worship God. David is, I think he's exposing his heart here. He as he's worshiping, he says, for he is our God. He is our Elohim. He is our great leader. He is our great love. He is our great life. He is our God. And notice, he is our God. It's personal. And listen, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're in a personal relationship with him. This isn't about a religion. Please know that. This is not about a religion. Jesus Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, it is about a relationship. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Unlike ungodly, worldly leaders who have self-interest at heart, God has his people in his heart. You and I are the apple of God's eye. He loves us. Why? I have no idea. Maybe it goes to the fact that he created us in his image and desires a relationship with him. Jesus said, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. Brothers and sisters, David confirms it here that we are in his hands and nobody can take us. Do you know that is such a sense of security? Whenever I counsel young marrieds, one of the things that I tell them, and I've been in counseling with a couple, one thing that I tell them is, your home is a safe place where you love each other unconditionally. That should be the environment of your home, where no matter what else is happening around you, you experience the unconditional love of God. We bow in worship. Our posture is submission. Our relationship is secure. Our relationship is secure. Now we bow in worship with obedient hearts. Here's the real tough part of this message. The first part was the manner in which we worship, also exposing the relationship aspect of this. But now David says, worship is incomplete. You can raise your hands, you can jump up and down, you can shout and scream, and you can pretend to be obedient, but then not be. Notice what David says. Today, that's June 3rd, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Hear his voice, shamaquo. Shamaquo, that's easy to say, shamaquo. That literally means to hear the voice of God. How does God speak? How does God speak to us? Sometimes he speaks through circumstances and situations. I don't trust those as well as other means of way God's speaking, but sometimes God does speak through circumstances and situations. Sometimes God speaks through other people. And one of the things that I'm really leery about here is when somebody comes to me and says, God told me to tell you. What I'm talking about when I say that God sometimes speaks through other people is when somebody says something and it speaks to you and they did not think that what they said was from God. And then there's times when God clearly speaks to you audibly. I've had experiences like that where God speaks audibly to me. But I'm going to tell you something. Every one of you sitting in this sanctuary this morning, every one of you hear the voice of God. Every one of you hear the voice of God. Because when you read this Bible, we believe in verbal plenary, which means that every word, letter, syllable, stroke in the Bible is divinely inspired, which means when I read the Bible, I am hearing the voice of God. So you want to know what God sounds like? Read his word. Right? If you want to know what God sounds like, read his word. That's what he sounds like. You may not hear it. Well, you guess you do when you read it. But when you read this, you are hearing the voice of God because God wrote it. He wrote it through men who were divinely inspired to write. That is, God wrote through their hands and used their personalities and used all their characteristics. And he wrote it through them. So I'm telling you very confidently this morning, when you read the Bible, you are hearing the voice of God. You've heard the voice. The challenge here now, do not harden. Kasha, levev, and that's the word heart. Kasha levev is do not harden your hearts. The words do not harden refer to being stubborn. You come to a passage of scripture, you read it, and you go, no, I'm going to do it my way. I don't like that. Or you may read the Bible, hear it in a sermon, or somewhere down the road, usually in a series of attempts by God to get your attention, and you go, God keeps bringing this up. Why is he bringing this up to me? Well, because he's checking to see if you're going to get to a place of submission, to where you will bend to his will. So he says, today, June 3rd, if you've heard his voice in this sermon, not Pastor Mike, but you have heard the voice of God, do not harden your hearts. It's a warning. And the heart means the inner being, the same word, cardia in the New Testament, which refers to the inner being, the feelings, the emotion, and more importantly, the will. Have you met people? They are just stubborn. You cannot get them to budge. I have, in 28 years of ministry, ran into more than my fair share of people who were just stubborn. They won't be moved. They're not going to be moved. And there is a problem with that. There's always a problem with that. Notice what David writes in verse 8. Do not harden your hearts, as at Meribah, as on the day of Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to proof, even though they had already seen what I had done. That is a reference to the crossing of the Red Sea. Now, these two places, let's look at it on the map. So, from Goshen to here to Jericho, from Goshen to Jericho is 290 miles. If you walked 10 miles a day with a large crowd of people, which is possible, 10 miles a day, how many days would it take you to get from Goshen to Jericho? 29 days. Not for this group. Forty years. Why? Well, because they hardened their hearts. They hardened their hearts against God. I'm going to say this, and I think it's biblical, because it's not only here, but other places in the Bible, that there is a connection between the blessings in your life and the obedience that you show to God. And I believe that there's times that we have gotten ourselves into trouble going the wrong way, and I'm going to talk about this extensively in this next section. But I believe that there is a connection between God's blessing and obedience and disobedience and calamity. I do believe that. And David says as much here. Now notice what this brings out. Now I want to add this verse. This verse is very important for what I was just saying. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord. This is Proverbs 28:14. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord. In other words, one who respects the Lord. Blessed can mean happy, but also blessed with other things as well. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord. Now listen to this. But whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. So, when you are obedient to God, God will bless your life. It doesn't mean things will always be rosy, but you are not going to experience the other end of this proverb. That is, if you harden your heart, and I have seen this in 28 years of pastoral ministry, I have seen this over and over and over again. I don't know what's going on in my life, why things are always bad. Well, I can tell you why. You don't follow God. You don't seek his ways. You don't try to follow him and love him with all of your heart. That's why you make bad decisions, bad choices. It gets you into trouble. That's why, brothers and sisters. I wonder if David had this in mind when he said, do not harden your heart, blessed is the one who fears the Lord, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. You can write that down and write it on your Bible, and you can look at it. When you're disobedient to God, back off. Particularly when you know it's God. For 40 years, 10 and 11, we worship God with obedient hearts. That should be the case. For 40 years, I loathed that generation. Wow. And said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Loathed. Kuvav tate. Loathed. And this is what that word means. Look at this. Watch this. You want to know why this generation wasn't able to go into the promised land? God snapped it. He broke off relations. There it is. Because God loathed them and snapped off that relationship, because this is what they did in worship. This is what they did in worship. I know God's speaking. I know he's talking, I'm not moving. I'm going to do it my way. And that's exactly what happened. It's exactly what happened. And the word here, astray in their hearts, is taha. That means straying from the right path. Most times in life, there's two ways you can go. You can go your way, and I can go my way, or you can go God's way. Let me tell you, as God's messenger for you this morning, it is always, always right to go God's way. So when you're hearing the voice of God, when you're reading the Word of God, and God says, don't do this, then don't do it. Submit to it and follow God's way. And I've heard people say, yeah, I know what the Bible says, but. Oh, please. Problems are headed your way. Please. Don't do that. But you know what's so great about God? Listen to this. Even though these, and he loathed them, cracked, broke it. It's literally what that means. I'll read exactly what that means. It means to break, snap off, and to cut off. You can, several different images, but God was done. But God, this is what I love about him. In times when I've made mistakes, David made mistakes. We all make mistakes. What I love about God is that he still provided for his people. God spoke to me about this image this week. Let me just say this, with all of my heart, with all of my being, and with all of my soul. Look at what they're doing. Look at, they're picking up scraps off the ground. And do you know what you have to do to pick up scraps off the ground? You have to bow. And yet, look, they're bowing. God showed me that this week. Spoke to me. You'll bow one way or the other. You'll either bow in obedience or you will bow in disobedience. Because you know what I find? Do you know what happens to people who live in calamity for a very, very, very long time? Something happens and they are forced to go back to God. That's powerful. That's a powerful picture. And when I was looking at it, I go, are you sure? Yeah, God, you're right. Now, that was one God spoke to me about. He wanted me to share that with you. And this, by the way, is not exactly a life of prosperity. This is not a land flowing with milk and honey. This is manna on the ground provided by a gracious God who will show them the posture of worship. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we got to get our worship right. We need to check it at the door when we come in, and we need to make sure that we're worshiping him with all of our heart. Me too. And then he says something even more powerful. They've gone astray in their hearts, and they have not known my way. Derech. They have not known my way. And it refers to a journey. But it also refers to not only a journey, but to the word know is yada, which means to possess information. So it refers to information about how you walk. God says, these people don't know me. They don't know my way. But I'm going to give them grace, and they will die off. Something I've told Audrey recently, and I mean it with all of my heart, please, Lord, do not let me finish poorly. I want to finish well. I want to finish well. These people have not known God's way. It was like basic math looking at an algebra board trying to figure it out. That's God's way? I don't understand that. Well, because it starts with the worship of the heart. Yeah, this is a tough part of worship. Therefore, God says, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. You know, that's said in Hebrews 3:11 as well. So that you may enter my rest. Menuha. It's a place of rest from weariness. So when you're disobedient and you don't worship God correctly, then you can never get to a place of rest from your weariness. Jesus said this, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Same word. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Do you notice that there is a connection between obedience and rest? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. If you are not learning the ways of Christ and you are not obedient to the ways of Christ, you will not enter rest. I will not enter rest. There's a clear connection here between obedience and rest. There's a clear connection here between obedience and disobedience and blessing and calamity. There's a clear connection between our hearts and what it says we believe about God. What have we learned today? Well, we learned today that we learned to bow in worship. And that means that our posture should be one of obedience and to realize that we are in relationship with Him. And that we worship Him with obedient hearts. That means we check our hearts. Knute Larson used to always tell me to make sure you check your heart. Ask yourself, why am I doing what I am doing? And our challenge is that we don't become stubborn when God does speak, right? When God clearly speaks, we should melt. And God was angry with this generation, and even though He provided for him, for them, I don't think it was God's best provisions. Churches can harden their heart. People can harden their hearts. When that happens, the results aren't always good. Please do not harden your hearts.